Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Freaks and Geeks. This is Carrie, and I have Stacy with us.
Hey, girl, what's up?
Hey, hey. April and Chris will be joining us momentarily. I'm pretty excited about our episode tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. We're continuing on for you guys with our extinction level event. So seems like we've got something really interesting to cover tonight, something to do with some water.
A little bit of water, a little bit of flooding situations, what to do.
A little bit of disaster. And it's very appropriate. It is very appropriate. We are in the zodiac of Aquarius right now, so water is very appropriate. I think, did April and Chris just come on board?
April did.
Oh, April. Are April you did. From a watertight bunker?
Yeah, sure am. It's getting real deep around here. It's getting real deep here in this bunker. So Chris is, unfortunately, for everyone listening, we are in the process of doing some major adulting, and we are selling a house, and we are buying a house, and we're doing it simultaneously. And, of course, our mortgage guy decided to call about 15 minutes ago, so Chris is going to go into his little office, and he's going to talk about whatever it is that they're going to talk about. While we talk about the fun stuff, we're going to talk about tsunamis. And trust me, I would much rather be here with you guys than be talking about all that crap.
Yay. Yeah, this is way better than adulting.
Yes, way better than adulting. Let's talk about extinction-level events. Let's do it.
All right, girl.
Boom. So if you will remember, last week we started on our series on extinction-level events, or we're calling them ELEs, or they're also called mass extinction events. So it's kind of up to you, you know, whatever you feel like doing. It's basically the exact same thing, so whatever you feel like throwing out there. We actually missed a very important discussion piece when it comes to this subject, but fear not, we are here to right the wrongs.
And wrong the rights.
And wrong the fucking rights. So let's take a step back and let's just introduce the foundation of this entire series of shows, which is mass extinction events have already occurred within what mass extinction events have already occurred within our planet's history. And as it stands right now, there have been five ELEs. And they are also known as the Big Five, mass extinction events that have taken place.
So, first off, we have the Ordovician-Silurian extinction. Now, this occurred around 439 million years ago. It's believed that there were two events that triggered this. One was glaciation, which is the process, condition, or result of being covered by glaciers or ice sheets. And the other was falling sea levels. Some scientists theorized that the Earth was covered in so much plant life that it removed too much carbon dioxide from the air, which in turn led to a sharp drop in temperature.
God dang. So next on the list, we have the Devonian extinction. This occurred around 364 million years ago. It is believed that around 75% of the species on Earth were lost. This event was, again, another case of the temperature dropping to a point where life could just not be sustained.
Wow,
so
that's insane.
That's less than 100 million years between those events.
Yep.
If I'm doing public math.
Yep, seems like it.
So do we know what caused this Devonian extinction, the event, it's a, you know, I know you said temperature dropping, but what triggered that temperature drop? Do we know? I mean,
off the top of my head, I actually do not know. This is a Christopher script. but
are you Googling?
Probably.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, if I had to, I would say probably the battle between, you know, the Yeti and the Heat Miser.
And the Heat Miser. Oh, my God.
A battle to the death.
So it says that a variety of causes have been proposed, including asteroid impacts, global anoxia, which is widespread dissolved oxygen shortages, so kind of the same as the one before it, plate tectonics, sea level changes,
the massive
and climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe a combination of those. I wonder when was Pangea rearranging into its current state?
Well, that was, I would think that would fall under plate tectonics.
Yeah. I just wonder when the big movements for that were.
Pangea.
That was about 300 million years ago, so.
Okay, so this is 364 million years ago.
Okay, so
it was between
in the age, but it was in the process.
So is it between that and our third event?
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. So our third event was 251 million years ago. So maybe in between there, this Pangea thing kind of occurred and triggered this next one. So because Pangea, I imagine it didn't happen instantaneously, the movement of the plates. So our third event is the Permian-Triassic extinction, and this is considered to be the worst of the big five. Thank you guys for giving me the worst one. An estimated 96% of the species were lost during this extinction event. Now, this event, they said, was kicked off by major volcanic eruption, which would align with plate tectonics and the movement of Pangea, I would think, because the movement of those plates would trigger volcanic eruptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we're not too far off in our theory here. So those volcanic eruptions filled the air with carbon dioxide, which then led to bacteria emitting large amounts of methane, or farts. Now, during this event, we have what scientists think might have been our first ELLI-related tsunami, which was caused by the... Araguaína, thank you. Thank you. Our resident linguists are always there to help me. By the Araguaína impact in the late Permian, roughly 254 million years ago, and is still South America's largest impact crater today. Needless to say, things were not going well during the late Permian period.
Yeah, needless to say. Number four of the big five is the Triassic-Jurassic extinction, which occurred between 199 and 214 million years ago. There were three different causes for this event, that being an asteroid impact, climate change, and flood basalt eruptions. But it stands to be sure that tsunamis were a definite side effect of the meteor impact and certainly did not help things. And now we come to the most well-known extinction event, the Cretaceous-Paleogene extinction. This is where we have the extinction of the dinosaurs, hashtag sad face. Again, we have a combination of what is believed to have been three separate events, volcanic eruptions, asteroid impacts, and climate change. 76% of life on Earth is thought to have gone extinct, as we all know that this event occurred around 65 million years ago.
That's right. And so we're pretty safe to assume that there were significant meteor, with a significant meteor impact, that there were also tsunamis, right?
There were.
Oh, there it is.
Oh,
my goodness.
Just didn't feel the same without it.
Ladies, thighs around the listening world have just begun to quiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume it was just Josh Gates that was into it, but...
I had to get April a towel.
Our Are you done adulting, Christopher?
Yeah, just for now. All right. Well, I'm ready to talk about some giant ass waves.
Here we go. All right. So you're right here.
Oh. Oh. Okay. All right. Well, sure is. All right. So the scientific consensus is that the asteroid impact at the KBG, is that BG, right?
PG.
Oh, PG. I don't know my letters. I'm sorry. boundary left mega tsunami deposits and sediments around the area of the Caribbean Sea, or Caribbean Sea, whichever flavor you prescribe to, and Gulf of Mexico from the colossal waves that were created by the impact. So these deposits have been identified in the La Papa Basin, or La Popa,
La Papa,
in northeastern Mexico, platform carbonates in northeastern Brazil, in Atlantic deep sea sediments, and in the form of the thickest known layer of graded sand deposits around 100 meters or 330 feet in the... Oh, you're going to have to help me again.
You thought it was done.
I did.
Oh, my God. We brought that to Chick Shalhoub.
Chick Shalhoub. You know, I purposely tried to avoid putting it in there.
Fancy monk.
In the Chick Shalhoub crater itself. Directly above the shocked granite ejecta. Is that a word?
Yeah,
Ejecta.
I mean,
Chick Shalhoub and ejecta. Hashtag Astroglide success.
I mean, if it was from a meteor, you know, Astroglide. You know what I'm saying? It came from the stars.
There we go.
Gliding right through space.
It all connects.
So the mega tsunami has been estimated at more than 100 meters or 330 feet tall, as the asteroid fell into relatively shallow seas. In the deep seas, it would have been 4.6 kilometers or 2.9 meters tall.
Miles tall.
Damn. I mean.
Yeah. So remember, guys, we talked about this last week with the asteroid show, because, you know, that was one of the big things about that impact, was that it was in shallow water. And if it would have impacted in the middle of, say, like the Pacific someplace where it was really deep, that wave would have been friggin' huge. I mean, I guess 330 feet tall is a mega tsunami, but when you compare that to 2.9 miles, I mean, that's just insane.
Can we call it an Uber tsunami?
I don't even think at 2.9 miles it qualifies as mega tsunami. I think Uber is appropriate at that point.
I mean, I'm just trying to get an idea of how tall 2.9 miles is. Because a mile is...
A mile is 5,280 feet, I believe. 5,000 or 3,000? I think it's 5,000.
It's actually... Well, you know what? We have the power of...
It's longer than your old ass can run.
I can run for a very long time. Thank you.
Longer than your old ass can run.
Yeah, 5,280 feet. God, I love being a nerd.
So, I mean, you think of, I think it's in the Rocky Mountains, where the highest point in the Rocky Mountains is 14,000 feet. So this thing would have eclipsed the Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
Think about that.
We're about to.
I mean...
By like 15 times.
That is bananas.
We're about to think about it.
Because 3 miles is like 15,000 feet.
Yep. So, I mean, let's get
that's
into them waters.
High, isn't that like as high as like small aircraft fly? Like twin engine props are about 10,000 to 15,000 feet. So, yeah.
Yep.
This thing would have taken out airplanes in the sky.
Oh
my God.
You'd be so fucked.
So now that we've
that
covered...
helicopter escape.
So now that we have covered those ELEs and have an idea of what real life events have occurred, let us get into our topic for thought. tonight. Extinction level tsunamis. Now, to preface, let's first describe what a tidal wave or tsunami is, and we will step through some examples of tsunamis that have occurred in more recent history, causing widespread destruction and havoc, massive loss of life in mere minutes. Scared yet? You should be.
I ain't never scared.
This you better be scared.
Well, I mean, isn't this why we moved away from Virginia?
Oh, my God. Here, no, fuck you. I'll do it for you. Is this why we moved inland? You got me. The word tsunami is Japanese for harbor wave. And is a result of water, usually ocean water, although not always the case, that has been displaced by some sort of disruption, whether that be volcanic eruptions, landslides, meteorites, and most commonly, earthquakes. Thanks, babe. Glad you're here for me.
Oh, man. That made me giggle. This is why people come to the show. The excellent production quality.
Doing it.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and we're not the worst by far. There are people.
I feel like we need a gold star of approval now. This is not the worst.
Why did you pause?
There are people being paid to produce podcasts much worse than this.
Yeah, I agree. I've heard a few myself that are just.
Well, we're not melodramatic, so.
Real bad.
Some are just openly reading from Wikipedia pages.
Jesus.
And if nothing else,
we're. We don't do that, for those that are listening.
We may not have a command of the English language or how to function, but our research is on point.
Just to bridge too far, I would probably say that the amount of actual sources that went into this document, just for me, within the last couple of hours, have been probably 12 to 15 different documents that I've pulled things from.
That's
including
not even
Wikipedia. I'm not going to hate, you know, like we also use Wikipedia. I'm going to use it here a little bit to talk about something else, but.
Well, I mean, not to mention the videos as well.
Yeah, YouTube. Yeah, we're all in the place. We get our shit.
I mean, if there's anybody who knows what they're talking about, it's people on YouTube.
Oh,
my goodness.
All right, let's.
Let's keep on trucking.
Let's get back to business here.
Okay, so, all right, so before we move on, though, there was one thing I wanted to talk about real quick, and I want to pose it in the form of a question, although I already kind of know the answer. So I know you mentioned tidal waves and tsunamis, but there is a difference between those, right?
Tell us what it is, Stacey.
Okay, so a tidal wave is more caused by this, just like it sounds, gravitational influences from the moon, the sun. They are not really the same as a tsunami. So tsunamis are a little bit more extraordinary. These are caused by rapid displacements in the seafloor or disruption of the standing water. So this is what we're seeing with the ELEs. Is something crazy happening that's causing that disruption, like an earthquake or a volcano or a crashing asteroid or an underwater explosion where water column is lifted up. So I just wanted to point that out to our listeners, because you can use the word tidal wave and tsunami interchangeably, but there are some differences in how they're actually carried out. A tsunami could look like a tidal wave, though, because, it does hit like a wave, but it's the way that they are done, the causes of them, it seems like, is what makes them
different
from each other.
Are you saying that it's the motion of the ocean? That's the difference?
It is the motion of the ocean.
If you could see his face right now.
Baby.
He's so proud.
I don't need to see his face to know that he's pleased with himself.
I'm serious. I'm so nerdy about all this sciencey stuff. I get totally geeked out over this. But the one thing
you said to get geeked out for the next 7 weeks, ma'am.
I know. I'm so geeked out. I love this series that we're doing. I really do. So this tsunami, though, the thing about that is it's not very noticeable. And it's going to pick up speed and size. And it's tremendously fast because as this water spreads out, it just gets bigger and quicker. And they can travel up to 600 miles per hour faster than most jet airliners. So once this shit gets started, there ain't no stopping it. And, I mean, it is rolling till it crashes.
Well, you know, that's just this is how it go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you.
I am a little off. I'm a little off, okay? All
right, we have to get this under control. All right,
so we're saying as the tsunami is making its way towards the shore, it's going to start to gain height due to the friction against the ocean floor. So, you know, if you've ever been to the beach, you go onto the ocean, you know that like there, as you go out, the floor starts to dip in. Well, in the reverse, as it's coming in, the floor starts to come up. And the closer that the floor is up to the water level, the higher that wave's going to get, just because that's what's causing it to build and build and build and build. So a tsunami, a regular tsunami, can reach heights of up to 100 feet. In contrast to normal waves that you would see on the ocean, a tsunami does not crest and it does not break. It just hits the shore like a wall. It's crushing anything that comes in its way. So it's there to eat.
Yeah, see, they say that about it not breaking or you know, cresting, but we have probably cumulatively studied the equivalent of hours of tsunami footage between last night and today, and I definitely saw them breaking before the shore.
That's why you can easily call it a tidal wave, because if there is some sort of breakage, I mean, it's going to look like a tidal wave and not a tsunami. Or what
no,
people
these,
would
think these were tsunamis.
Tsunami.
No, these were legit
right.
Tsunamis. This was like the Indian Ocean tsunami, the footage of the Indian Ocean tsunami. Like, if it did crest and it did break before the shore, so I don't know.
I don't think that makes it any better.
Yeah, it doesn't make it any better.
Yeah,
right. The destruction is still there, but I don't know why people say that.
I wonder what's the point at which it crests and breaks.
Maybe. I mean, that could
because
be
because I'm
too.
Thinking, like, I'm thinking a tidal wave is probably going to crest and break once it hits, like, say if it were to hit like the continental shelf, like off the Atlantic coast. But a tsunami may not crest and break until it hits an actual higher up land. I don't know.
Yeah,
of the gravitational pull. Because in a wave, if you think about it, how it gets sucked back out, you're pulling.
Oh, we're gonna talk about getting sucked back out.
Oh, God.
Well, there's an undertow there. And if you're talking about a tsunami where water is actually displaced and just pushing out, just the general physics of it, I would think it's not going to crest when it hits. It's maybe not going to crest when it hits, you know, like it normally would with a wave. Maybe there's some difference in elevation there or something. I don't know. I'm just thinking about basic physics of how that might work.
Fun fact for the listeners, I was almost drugged out to sea by an undertow. My mommy saved
fun
me.
Fun fact, additional fun fact, I may be completely full of shit. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just thinking about how things may work. So there's probably some scientists out there going, that's not how this works. It's not how any of this works.
We're going to get all the angry comments.
Yeah, that's okay. Give us angry comments. We want the angry comments. We want them. Because the more angry comments we get, the more we get to learn about this stuff. And that's a win in my book.
Yeah, please post online how stupid Stacy is.
No, just say what the deal is with them continually saying it doesn't crust and break when what's the deal with that? How's that work?
Yeah, so any world-renowned tsunami experts that are listening, just come let us know what the deal really is.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the initial landfall of a tsunami isn't all there is to worry about. Because once the tsunami loses its momentum, it takes everything that it destroyed, and all of that mayhem gets sucked back out to sea. Houses, cars, boats, people, dogs, books. No. No,
well,
not everything.
I'm literally sucking in the literature.
Oh.
So, yeah, the book's leaving. That's really bad.
I mean,
that's
if
really
the
bad.
Books go, the sea might as well take me.
Just screaming like a possum.
Just the whole way. Trying to just catch as many books as I can and hold them above the water. Just.
You won't take my Edgar Allan Poe poem book. Pry
it
from my
like,
cold dead hands.
I'm having flashbacks to the Library of Alexandria now.
When I was writing that line, I was like, people, you know, houses, boats, whatever. And I was like, wait, what are the one things that Carrie would really hate to lose? I was like, dogs and books.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, she didn't say hot dogs.
It doesn't specify. Maybe I'll have a dog under one arm and a hot dog in one hand.
And books
and
on your
you
head.
A raft and a book.
And it'll be puppy powered, a puppy powered raft.
Oh my God, that's funny. All right, so one thing, though, that's important to note is that these tsunamis, they are made up of multiple waves, right? And they can actually last for hours.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Tsunami, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm kind of trying to go over it. So a tsunami is coming, so what do we do?
Well, so believe it or not, WikiHow, the source of how to do everything, gives us some really great instruction along with pictures for those of us that really enjoy those and need to.
Do tell.
Visual learners.
So
visual learners.
Step one is not screaming.
Yeah, no, you never scream. You got to try to keep your shit cool, Carrie, okay? So
I can't make you
preparedness is, yeah, you got to keep it cool. That's the only way you're going to save the book. First, preparedness is key, as with so many things in this life. So watch your pets, watch the coast for unusual tidal activity, especially after an earthquake.
Deep.
Well,
it's going to be deep.
I will tell you, after that Virginia, remember, you guys remember back in 2011 we had the earthquake in Mineral, Virginia, where like everybody
yes.
felt it up and down the East Coast because it was in the bedrock.
Yeah,
so
that's the
Quake again. Okay. That's
the Quake again.
So, yeah, so I was at work, and the first thing I thought of was, oh my God, where's the wave? Like,
yeah.
How fucked up is that? Was the first thing I thought was, oh God, when's the wave coming? Like, see, I really need to read different types. I really need to get out of the post-apocalyptic sort of end of the world books that I read, because this is the kind of shit that haunts my mind. All right, so now, you know, if you live in a coastal zone or along waterways, you got to know this. You know where all the areas are that you frequently stand.
So, like, your work or your school or your home?
Exactly. Next, know your history. Have tsunamis ever hit any of those areas in which you're at?
Well, so, for example, Virginia was last hit with a tsunami during the Chicxulub extinction event that we talked about last episode. Check that one out. It's postulated that the wave from the tsunami actually went all the way to the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, and that's according to the U.S. Geological Survey.
Well, shit. I guess, you know, we're kind of fucked then, because it's already happened once, right?
Yeah,
you
definitely
prepare
think it could happen again.
Yeah,
well, and that was just, like, shallow water. And that was shallow water. So, like, forget about it if it hits the Atlantic. I mean, we got to prepare everything here. So, I mean, we're pretty much screwed in that case. All right, so next, we need to prepare our essentials, medication, water, some shelf-stable food, only the things that you can carry, though, in case you need to get out and get to higher ground. And lastly, we want to carry out with our have an evacuation plan that you can carry out. Is get to higher area, stay there. Again, tsunami is just not one wave, but a series. So if all else fails, you get swept up, grab onto something that floats, or, you know, just, you know, good old-fashioned swimming 101. You get tired, you can't swim, you float. Get on your back and float.
Well, I mean, you just got to reenact Titanic.
Basically, although don't be a bitch like Rose and actually let Leo on the board. Because
there was
totally
plenty of
room.
There was plenty of room on that door. She could have let Leo. She should have been prosecuted for murder. She killed him.
Unless Leo is the name of a golden retriever puppy, he ain't getting on my door.
My door.
So I will say, and I think we talk about this a little bit later, but I will say that in a lot of these events with the tsunamis, just keep in mind that although there are a huge percentage of people that die by drowning, there's also another huge percentage of people that die from like crush impacts and trauma because they're swept away with all of these really crazy things like cars and, you know, boats and houses and stuff like that, and they can just as easily die from impact against those types of things.
It's like a water. It's like how if you get hit by a tornado, usually it's the debris that kills you.
Yeah. So there's a lot of that going on here too. So just keep that in mind when you're choosing things to float on or near. Is that do I really want to be killed by this book puppy float?
Book puppy.
That's such a horrible way to die. So think about it. You actually survive the wave, but then you get like physically crushed between two cars that are getting sucked back out to sea. That's like such a horrible fucking way to die.
Yep. Survived everything else, but then you're going to be crushed. Inevitably.
That just means you weren't prepared enough.
Horrible. Dude, that's totally my luck too, you know? Like, oh, I made it. Oh, no, I didn't.
If it is my fate to be crushed in just a ball of 40 puppies, well, I guess it's my time to go.
Fair enough.
To death.
Fair enough.
Taking these puppies with me.
All the puppies are going.
Avenge me, puppy goes. So the most deadly tsunami in recent history was the one that occurred in 2004 in the Indian Ocean. And an earthquake caused a tsunami to hit more than 11 countries, travel over 3,000 miles, so basically the width of the United States, and claim more than 220,000 lives. The energy that was released by the tsunami was the equivalent to 23,000 Hiroshima atomic bombs. 23,000.
Yeah,
crazy.
God.
That is
insane
bonkers.
When you think about it, because it's water. So you don't think about water having that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The essence of life.
Well, no, but I mean, I think about water, being in water, like it's soft, you know, it's comforting. You know, I don't think about a wall of water traveling at 600 miles an hour and like smacking me in the face. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it's a lot to take in.
That's why I get in the wave pool and I just stand there and let the waves hit me so I can prepare for this kind of thing.
Practice.
I'm preparing my body for that impact.
This is emergency preparedness.
Chris, I could see your skinny ass getting knocked off your feet before they even start going.
Well, that's, you got to find a way to make yourself aerodynamic. That's what I do. Cut right through it like a hot knife through butter. You know what I'm saying?
Like a seal. Like a
April.
Like April a gangly seal.
Literally rolling her eyes at me. They are almost on the floor. They have rolled so much.
Into the sun.
April just pulled something.
So as scary as that sounds, that doesn't even compare to a mega tsunami. Now, a mega tsunami differs from a normal tsunami in size, speed, and how they are created. For a mega tsunami to occur, it requires a large object suddenly falling into the water, quickly displacing large quantities of water. They can also be caused by events that happen on land very close to the water, such as volcanic eruptions and meteor strikes, where a regular tsunami is small when it starts out, a mega tsunami has an initial wave height much larger, possibly reaching heights in the thousands of feet in range.
Yep, so as luck would have it, there have actually been a few mega tsunamis that have occurred within the past few hundred years, which, you know, is just, you know, scary to think about. But there has been one in the past, what, can I quick math, 40 years.
Yeah,
roughly 40 years. So just keep that in the back of your brain while we're discussing these, and just like these big-ass tidal waves that are just coming to hide your wife, hide your kids. So, so in 1792, Mount Unzen in Japan erupted, which caused pieces of it to break off and fall into the ocean. And these pieces that fell off is what caused the mega tsunami, and that wave reached 330 feet in height, so roughly 100 meters, if I remember rightly. So that's too big. That is too big.
Big wave.
Right. So in 1883, there was the eruption of Krakatoa. Is that right?
Krakatoa.
I know you enjoy me struggling, Chris, like you do. This eruption created pyroclastic flows, which is a fast-moving current of hot gas and volcanic matter that moves out from the volcano that hits the waters, creating a wave around 79 feet tall.
Then next, in 1953, and again in 1958, in Lituya Bay in Alaska. This was caused by a landslide near the head of the bay, which in turn was caused by an earthquake. The wave that was created reached a maximum height of over 1,700 feet. When the wave hit the shore, it stripped away the land down to the bedrock.
That's what I call a mega tsunami.
I can make your bed rock.
In 1963, a landslide occurred above the Vajont Dam located in Italy. This landslide created a wave around 820 feet tall, which went over the dam, destroying the villages located nearby.
I'm still okay. Laughing at my own jokes. So the last mega tsunami that was recorded in recent history is the one in 1980, which happened here in the good old United States. So this one occurred when Mount St. Helens erupted and the upper 1,500 feet of the mountain collapsed. This in turn created a giant landslide, and this in turn crashed into Spirit Lake nearby and caused waves that reached up to 853 feet. Now I can imagine these kind of waves in the ocean. It's a huge body of water, you know. So, but like to imagine it in a lake, it's mind-boggling. Just like almost 1,000 feet tall, coming at you. Like, what do you do?
I just
Jesus,
say goodbye.
Take the wheel.
So in recent years, there's been talk about the volcano in the Cape Verde Islands off the coast of West Africa, where they think this happened a long time ago, where part of the volcano kind of collapsed and caused a tsunami to occur. One of the things that scientists have warned over time is that if there is a volcanic collapse in the Cape Verde, I believe it's, I can't remember the name of the volcano, but if it were to break apart and fall into the Atlantic, it could generate a mega tsunami that would slam the East Coast.
It's actually one that I was researching yesterday. So, The If that were to happen, there are some scientists who speculate, although the research has come under scrutiny after it got put out, so you have to take it kind of with a grain of salt. But the size of the wave...
I just remember hearing that everybody was talking about, oh, Cape Verde, if it collapses, there'll be a huge tsunami.
Well, I mean, it would be something to be concerned about, for sure, because it would hit... Theoretically, it would hit Africa, it would hit Europe... It would hit, you know, the entire east coast of the United States. And it's thought that the waves would reach about 25 meters in height when they hit, like, places like Florida. I think as you get more north, the size of the waves kind of diminished a little bit. But, I mean, still, you think 25-meter-high waves that are coming from something was caused all the way across the Atlantic.
Yep.
That is absolutely bananas.
B-A-N-A-N-A-S. So I do want to step in, and I also want to throw a bit of a shameless plug kind of for one of the episodes that we're going to be doing later on, kind of. So let's just stick with me on this. It's all going to wrap up together and in a nice little, pretty little package. And this is where I'm shamelessly reading from Wikipedia, so just, you know that. So in 2011, there was also what could be technically described as a mega tsunami, and that was in relationship to Fukushima. And, of course, we know Fukushima from the nuclear meltdown that occurred there. So in 2011, there was an earthquake off the Pacific coast of Tohoku, and that was a magnitude 9.0 or 9.1 undersea megathrust earthquake.
Ooh.
So you have like some really tsunami like issues there. Of course, it being an undersea, and of course it being a megathrust, which is basically where the one of the plates gets kind of pulled down by the other plate sliding down beneath it, if you can imagine, and then eventually that building up so much pressure that the upper plate releases in this explosion, basically.
I think that's why it wasn't classified as a mega tsunami, because there was something that happened under the water.
No, that's still a tsunami.
Well, that's why it's not classified as a mega tsunami.
No, the difference between a mega tsunami and a tsunami is the height.
Oh.
In the speed, but the height, definitely. So the reason, so that resulted in, of course, a 3.11 earthquake in Tohoku, like on the actual mainland. And because of that, the resulting tsunami, which was, hold on, I will tell you, 133 feet high. The resulting tsunami damaged the power grid and it damaged the nuclear facility there in Fukushima to the point where they could not cool down the reactor. They could not cool down the core. So it basically melted down, and now we have this radioactive wasteland, which will go right into our wonderful episode about nuclear extinction level events. And we can kind of see that, like...
That is the most likely that's going to happen.
Well, I mean, I would say maybe cyber.
We're going to nuke ourselves in the Stone Age.
Maybe that too, but we'll see. But all of these things kind of play on one another. So there we are.
And there's your history lesson.
I did it.
Well,
and that
I mean...
segue for the... that's one for the record books right there, folks. I love that. All tied up with a pretty bow.
Pretty bow. We got tsunamis, we got earthquakes, we've got nuclear issues, we've got the power grid kind of like faulting out on us, so it's just one big chaos pancake.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Delicious. Yep.
All right, well, we have covered all that, giving you a little bit of a history lesson, giving you a little bit of, you know, discussing what a big-ass wave actually is. So let's get to the big question everybody's got on their mind.
Ooh, do it.
So could a tidal wave, a mega tsunami, be an extinction level event? And if so, how tall would that bitch have to be?
Wow.
Let's go to Carrie for the answer.
Always ready with an answer. Well, it is theorized that the meteor that hit the Earth around 65 million years ago that kicked off the Cretaceous Paleogene extinction caused a mega tsunami that reached a mile high. Which, to put that into perspective, sacked the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, the Eiffel Tower, the Great Pyramid of Giza, and one World Trade Center on top of one another, and they still would not have been taller than this wave. So, to answer the first question, it would seem that an extinction-level event created by a tsunami is definitely possible, although it would come in conjunction with another extinction-level event, most likely a meteor strike, as we covered in last week's episode.
Meteors.
Meteors.
Why is a space rock bigger than a moon or than an Earth rock?
Why?
Because it's a little meteor.
Oh my God, you sound like my dad. Like, no offense, Dad, but like, that's a Doug joke right there. You guys know my dad. That's a Dougie joke.
There's definitely the possibility, and it may be something that is more likely than we expect. As we discussed last week, there are celestial bodies that are whipping around the Earth constantly.
A popper.
And there is this one that we're very much on the radar of NASA and other organizations specializing in monitoring comets, meteors, asteroids, etc. If one of these objects were to come on a collision course with Earth and just so happened to hit the ocean, which is a high probability due to most of the Earth being covered in water, we could see an extinction-level event on par with what wiped out the dinosaurs. If that doesn't keep you up at night, I don't know what will.
Apophis.
I feel like she goes to bed just dreaming of this celestial body.
Just talking about it.
Dude, no joke, man. I am reading Rendezvous with Rama again. Arthur C. Clarke, good book if you haven't read it. And the beginning of it starts out with the events that cause them to beef up their ability to look at what's coming in the sky and what asteroids are out there. And man, this is such a good book. I love it. Rendezvous with Rama. All my science, end of the world fiction lovers out there, if you haven't read it, gotta get it. But yeah.
Well, if books aren't your thing, and if they're not, my God, what are you doing? Hollywood has taken care of simulating. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but just in case, Hollywood is taking care of simulating, sort of, what the destruction would look like from a mega tsunami.
That's right, Carrie. So we can look to the silver screen, you know, that bastion of factual, you know, factual knowledge. To movies like Deep Impact, where you know, you get a comet that's coming in, and there's that really cool scene that I'm sure if you Google Deep Impact, it'll be the one that pops up, like, that you can play on YouTube, where you just have this comet that's just going past tons and tons of people, smacks right into the ocean, and then there's just an enormous wave that's created, and that strikes the coast and destroys everything in its path, as giant-ass waves want to do. Or, you know, if that's not really your thing, you could, there's The Day After Tomorrow, which isn't necessarily about, you know, a mega tsunami or something like that, but it does have a giant-ass wave in it, which is caused by a giant sheet of ice that falls into the ocean, and then that triggers major meteorological events all over the globe. And like I said, one of which just happens to be a giant ass wave that crashes into the coast, destroying everything in its path. But if those aren't your style and you're looking for something with a little bit less production value, but still a good representation of what would occur with a mega tsunami, and April, me and you were, this was the one that we were watching yesterday,
yeah,
or that you were watching when I came
yeah.
in, And then I enjoyed it so much I watched it again. I watched it again after you.
Oh my
god!
All right, so gotta check this one out.
It's fun. It's just like there's the one scene April was watching when I walked in. It's just an old lady that's standing on the bridge watching this giant ass wave come to. Everybody else is running by. She's just like, ah!
Oh my god!
As it's gonna come take it. So this is the South Korean movie of what?
Hyundai. Hyundai.
Not to be confused with the car company.
Yeah, no, it's Hyundai.
So it's Haeundae, if you wish to go check it out. Or if not, you don't want to watch the whole movie, just check out a few of the scenes.
It's on YouTube.
It's enjoyable.
It is enjoyable.
So while it's not a hugely popular subject for a movie, you know, when you look at, like, disaster movies, it's not usually the number one one that comes up. There's definitely some out there that give you the idea of, you know, just the pure destruction that a mega tsunami can cause.
Well, then.
Well, I mean,
that'll be a great treat for Valentine's Day. Grab your loved ones, snuggle on the couch.
Hide your wife, hide your kids.
Watch candy.
That's actually, like, that would actually go down in this house. Like,
yeah.
That would be something that I would play on Valentine's Day.
And your children never go to the beach again.
Yeah, that's the true story. I was actually trying to read a little bit of Rendezvous with Rama to Gracie the other night, and she was not having it.
You know, one thing I just thought of, what about, like, the animal life that would be in the tsunami, like the waters?
What about it?
I mean...
Are you talking about Sharknado?
I mean, hey,
if
look...
If you bring Sharknado. Up Sharknado...
It has been proven that sharks could get picked up by a waterspout and flung onto land. It has been proven that it could happen. It could happen. Scientists.
I think you're listening to some Tom Jones, whatever the hell is.
You know what? After we're done with this episode, I will find what.
What is his name?
Tom Jones.
What is his name?
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. Info.
Turn the freaking frog gang.
Humanity.
The globalists caused the mega tsunamis.
Tsunamis and sharknadoes.
You want to survive the tsunami, get my tactical bathtub. But think about that. If maybe you don't drown, maybe you don't get crushed, you get fucking eaten by a shark.
Can't get my face bit off.
No,
you just gotta punch them in the snout, and then gently turn them over
punch
and rub their
They're not
body.
A bear.
No, that's a real thing. If you punch a shark in its snout, it disorients it, and it'll flip over on its back and be confused, and you got time to escape.
If it flips over on its back, I'm gonna start rubbing its belly.
Listen,
maybe then I'll make friends with the shark.
I have
and it'll
approximate
take me
knowledge
to shore.
Of many things.
Listen, I don't swim so fast, so if it flips over, if I punch it in the face and it gets all disoriented, I'm poking its eyeballs out with my fingers before I go anywhere.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
It's
you gotta
got
plan your
black,
escape, dude.
Yeah.
It's coming in. It's got black eyes. It's black like a doll's eyes.
Like a doll's eyes. It's such a good movie. All right. Shall we continue on?
Yes, shall.
All
right. Well, the news luckily isn't all bad when it comes to giant tsunamis destroying countries. I mean, there are definitely areas where it's almost impossible for a mega tsunami to reach. For example, let's look at Des Etats-Unis or the United States. There are two giant barriers that protect the inner portion of the country, those being the Appalachian Mountain Range and the good old Rocky Mountains. If a giant wave, even 1 mile high, hits the coast, as soon as it reached one of these mountain ranges, it would not be able to get past it. So it would definitely be the ultimate example of what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object. But the waves would not be able to flow over the top. And even if there was a wave tall enough to get over the mountain range, it would have lost so much momentum that its destructive power would be all but gone, except for the enormous floods that would take place due to the immense amounts of water.
So, I'm just going to put it out there. I think that if there is a wave that has been created that's that goddamn big, I think the mega tsunami is the least of our worries. I think it's the least of our problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some shit that actually caused that, that, like, we're definitely gone.
Yep.
So in short, if there is a mega tsunami, just head to the other side of the mountain range. I mean,
easy enough.
Just to hop in your, hop in your plane or your automobile.
Yeah. Just get on the interstate.
Just go.
Yeah, because 64 wouldn't be a problem at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, the highway's gonna be free flowing.
You saw what happened to those poor fuckers in Deep Impact who were supposedly trying to get out of Virginia Beach. They all fucking died.
Well, you know, it's Virginia Beach. What are you going to do?
That's when you got to have a shortcut. You got to know a shortcut. Don't take 64. Take 13 over to 10,
I'm
5,
taking,
460.
I'm taking.
Take 460.
I'm taking.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the strip map right now.
But I mean, like I said, although you might be protected from the water when you just, cross that mountain range, you'll get on the top of the mountain and just look at the water down below you. Just be like, screw you, water.
Get on.
I have beaten you.
That's the part of the movie where the shark jumps out of the water and she walks to the top of the mountain.
Yep.
Just because you were being so cocky.
Yeah,
or a smaller meteorite hits you directly in the forehead.
I'd be the one guy.
Smaller meteorite hits you.
Oh, man.
Knocks you right
out.
But,
I mean, you definitely got – we got bigger problems.
All right. Well, there it is. There you have it. It's probably the least of the extinction-level events, but it's definitely terrifying, especially if you live on the coast.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway, like I said, is that this isn't something that's going to just be by itself. An extinction level event. It's going to come in conjunction with a meteor strike or just the biggest earthquake that's ever been, or a giant volcanic eruption, or multiple volcanic eruptions.
Yep.
I mean, who's not to say that an atomic bomb gets drilled into the Earth's crust and somebody detonates under the Earth's crust, causes all the volcanoes to go off at once.
Yep.
Well,
that sounds
that was like
supervillain shit.
It does. I mean, that goes back to that thing I was telling you guys, I was showing you guys earlier about the super volcano out in Yellowstone. I mean, if that shit blows, you think about, there has to be some sort of balance, I would think, underneath the Earth's crust between like the plates and these release valves and things, or the volcanoes. So if that were to blow, what other things could be triggered by that could cause maybe a huge eruption somewhere else, and trigger one of these events?
I don't know where I'm going to go in a volcano blows.
All right.
Or if the sleepiest son of a bitch that you know, Cthulhu, finally decides to wake his lazy ass up from under the ocean.
Cthulhu.
Cthulhu.
He's gonna save us.
Cthulhu's gonna come.
Did you know there's a theory that Cthulhu is the bird box monster?
Yes.
Well, fuck me then.
I think I told you about it actually.
No, I saw it on a video.
Okay.
A theory.
All right.
Well, before we exit, Carrie, did you watch the documentary I told you to watch last week?
I'm not watching it.
Why not?
I can't watch the simplest of spooky movies.
It's not spooky.
I can't watch the news. Christopher, I'm too sensitive. Don't you understand?
Is it again?
No, it's called Abducted in Plain Sight. It's on Netflix, right? Netflix?
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
So, Carrie, I have a hard time watching regular TV because just by the nature of my personality, I despise conflict.
That's Christopher. That's because we are the same person.
Well, funny enough, we came to the conclusion that April is the female incarnate of my best friend, and I guess I'm the male incarnate of her best friend.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Pretty pretty active.
Love hot dogs in Flannel.
Hey, you know what? I'll mail you your very own flannel shirt.
Yes. I want to look like Al Borland. Who we found out.
Glenn.
Almost was named Greg Borland.
Glenn.
Okay, I don't think I could watch this documentary. I just pulled it up on Netflix. Yeah, now I'm not
no
going to be able to watch that.
No
Stacey,
one should watch
it.
You
would wreck
your TV. Yeah, you would probably throw something through your TV, Stacey, just at the sheer stupidity of these people.
It's not scary. It's a little on the gross side, but not more than you... Like, it's gross, absolutely, but, like, it's not as soul-shaking to me as, like, some of the things that I've heard and read. I mean, that's not saying much because, like, I dwell on the darkest parts of the internet, so, like, it takes a lot to rattle me. But it didn't
right.
rattle me. But it did piss me the fuck off a lot. So... I think that's the primary emotion that you would also feel.
Okay.
Pissed by proxy.
I'm agitated enough these days. I don't think I need anything else to piss me off.
I think you would break your TV, and then you'd blame us for breaking your TV.
I feel that you would read the synopsis and get pissed off.
Yeah.
Just go on IMDb.
I did. I just read the synopsis, and that's why I was like, I can't fucking watch this.
I mean, but no joke, like I said last week, when I watched it, my mouth was open the entire time, just in pure disbelief.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
And
maybe
this is
that's
a
just...
true story.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I can't watch stupidity like that.
I mean, I always like to think I'm charismatic and that, you know, I can get people to like me, but that was on a whole nother level. That dude had to have been.
He was doing some
booty
or something.
I'm walking on sunshine. Well. Now that we've lightened up the mood after talking about the destruction of the humanity.
Yep. All right, everyone. Well, that has been our show this week. Go ahead and pop into Facebook. Let us know how you liked it. Let us know how you like if you've seen Abducted in Plain Sight. By all means, put your opinion on there as well. And we will. Anybody have any alibis before we go?
What's next week?
No, ma'am.
Next week. I don't remember what our next week. Our next
hold
Ellie
on, I'll
is.
Pull it up real quick. I think we, our next Ellie. Nuclear.
Oh, there you go, Fukushima.
Fukushima, we going to talk about some more Fukushima.
Oh, man, we got
boom, dropping the bomb.
We're going to talk about Three Mile Island because nobody ever talks about Three Mile Island, but we're going to.
Oh, man.
We're also
going to
talk about nuking each other.
That was
we're going to talk about nuking
I remember
each
that.
Other.
We're talking about nuking
yeah,
each other.
Blow
we're
that shit up.
Doomsday. We're going to talk about Dr. Strangelove, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. We're going to talk about all those things.
Oh, man. It's going to be great.
Nice.
It'll be a good time.
Hey, did you get that War Day book I told you about?
Yes, I did.
Nice.
There we go. That's
there
her.
Is,
that's saying
music.
That.
Right. Well. Everybody have a good week, and we will see you next week.
Stay dry, everybody.
See you next time.
All right, bye.